Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.
This is live on KEXP on listener-powered radio, streaming worldwide at kexp.org, and in Seattle, Washington, on your radio dial at 90.3 FM, and of course on the mobile apps. And these live on-in-studio performances are made possible because your donations. So please visit kexp.org/live. I'm Eva Walker, and we are in the live room with the one and only, the Mountain Goats. Hey, y'all.
What's happening?
Hey, hey, hey. They're going to play four songs for us, and then we're going to chat a bit afterwards. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do this, John.
I'm going to rise up early every day. Overcome every obstacle in my way. Keep a secret chamber in my heart. I'm gonna make you suffer. Let your yes be yes, and your no come from deep in your belly. I'm gonna make you suffer. There was a captain.
Mountain Goats.
jumping out of my skin. This tiny sector can't contain me. Suit up in a flash, slipping symbols bravely, bravely. Go where I'm not wanted, stand where the light hits hard. Almost full grown, drive home alone and listen to the slow parts. In a new universe, trying to find the mask that fits me. Shaking the curve, behaving as the beacons bid me. Silver strap to please the diehards. Let me dance till I die. Turn the volume up high and listen to the slow part. Alien ships from ancient realms, ageless captains at their helms, reach from the sea. Let it begin with me. Half-life of my toxins, difficult to calculate. Trying to keep my stormy spell. Dozens like me never get free, filling out our dance cards. Mark my time on the wall. Answer the slow parts. St. Louis with a scar beneath his eye. Left the kitchen spotless on the day he said goodbye. Breakaway republic dude, supremely filthy mouth. Capaya, Mississippi, points much further south. It's never light outside yet when they climb into the van. Remember at your peril, forget the ones you can. Leave home feeling empty, change planes in Taipei. Stay awake the whole time, end up several worlds away. The house was almost full that day, they made a space for you. This world is sad and broken, gotta fix a crack or two. Rest until you're rested, climb back onto the caravan. Forget the ones you can. And then just when you think you've learned how to forget, you learn it's just the ones who haven't risen to the surface yet. Forget the ones you can.
The Mountain Goats on KEXP.
I think as a lead singer, growth in a band is exactly this. When you're new at it, for maybe for 15 or 20 years, if you're slow like me, you want to say, this is what I'm doing. And I'm telling you what I'm doing. And as you grow, you say, no, you tell me what to do. And I'll just do the thing. Peter, what am I playing?
Hostages.
Oh, man, this is a song. This is a religious number. It's a song about, you know, like we may sometimes run out of electricity or run out of funds, and we may run out of bullets, but we're never going to run out of hostages. It's called Hostages.
We'll be right back.
all look back and laugh. But there's lots of noise in the break room. Nasty points on the raft. And they're breaking into the broadcast now. Special update from Action News. Some of what you'll hear in the footage that follows may not reflect our station's views. We may run out of bullets. We're never gonna run out of hostages. There's disagreements on procedure. Vocal bitter divisions. As is often the case in situations like this one, I'll be the one who makes the final decision. Some of you have been here before, most of you have not. Some will dwell on the details in the future, or work to keep it out of their thoughts. We may run out of bullets. We're never gonna run out of hostages. If there's one thing I love, it's an infinite resource. If there's one thing worth loving, it's a surplus of supplies. Team up on the rooftop. Well, good luck to the team. When you know you'll never make it out alive, you kind of get to live out your dream. Helicopters in the distance, music of the spheres on the wind. It's gonna be a rough ride from here down to the exit. Some might look back and laugh at the end. We may run out of bullets. We're never gonna run out of hostages.
The Mountain Goats here on KEXP. Thanks for being here, y'all.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk. Is that okay?
Yes.
Great. So you have a new record coming out. So I'm just immediately going there. I'm going to preface this question with something, and it's kind of a lot, but we'll see what happens.
That's cool. I like to imagine being a different kind of interview subject than I am, because I'm forthcoming and direct. Like, you get 100% of me when you talk to me. But like, what if I was, oh, you know, we don't like to talk about the new one. So the manager would be on the phone. It's like, somebody go in there and tell him he's here to talk about the new one.
So a lot of sequels are made, you know, a year or a few years after. But the space between the 2002 album and which is called All Hail Texas or West Texas, and then this new album, Jenny from Thebes, feels the distance feels more realistic. And I say that because changes, especially in small towns, they don't happen very fast. And my family's from the South, so
where in the South are you all from?
Well. My grandpa was from Bayou Goula, very small, unincorporated town in Louisiana.
Amazing, yeah.
And it still hasn't changed very much. So you have us revisiting this story, or if I could say epic, and after 20 plus years, and me personally, it makes me think of music that came out of the civil rights movement and music that's being written now and how they're not much different, right? And so changing, we know that changing a whole country, especially when everyone doesn't participate, takes quite a bit, a small town, but also changing one's situation and surroundings. With all of that being said, did you always know you were going to revisit this story? Or did it stem from your own curiosity later? Did you ask yourself, what the hell is Jenny and everyone doing right now?
So it's much more the latter. I'm really resistive to doing sequels and follow-ups, because it always feels like, you know, especially like doing a sequel to something that wasn't successful, that I'd be more likely to do, right? But like All Hail West Texas, when it was reissued on vinyl, that became like our first time hitting number one on the Billboard charts, on the vinyl chart. So I'm always very resistive to doing sequels to things that were successful, because I don't want to be crass. You know, you don't want to say, oh, you liked this, here's some more of this. It sort of feels, you know, unclassy to me. It's like I don't usually do a part two, and the characters get one bite at the apple and they're gone. And but I sat down at the piano one day and I just played a chord, and I liked the progression I had. And the way I write is usually just to ad lib to the first freestyle, the first couple lines off the top of my head, and see if anything comes out. Right, if nothing does, maybe the whole song just goes away. But on this one, the first song I wrote for the record was one called Jenny 3, and the first line of it is Jenny was a warrior, Jenny was a thief. It just happened to fit into the. It came out of my skull, and I went. And that felt really transgressive to me, because, like I say, I don't normally do that, right? It's like that's normally not me. That's fun, right? To do something that you wouldn't normally do. You know, I'm Catholic by disposition, so it's like I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do according to my own rules, right? So that's where the sweet part is I get to sort of, you get to break a, you know, transgress a little bit. So that's how it happened, is like, you know, but I wouldn't, to do it within enclosed space would have just felt weird, you know?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, it's a super Catholic thing. It's like, set up a bunch of things you're not supposed to do, and then very carefully, and for maximum payoff, pick the one you're going to do.
Right? Yeah. So I also read in an interview, just keeping with the topic of this album and these characters, I read an interview you did a couple years ago, and you said something that really stuck out to me. You were talking about dreams, which is my jam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how when people show up in your dreams, it's typically an extension of yourself.
Yeah.
And the brain, quote, the brain doesn't even know that other people exist. And so when writing songs, and you have especially other characters in it, you're kind of telling on yourself. So I wanted to ask, where would you say in this album is your story most represented? Would that be the emotions of the characters, their environment, or just Jenny?
So that's a super great question. What she's talking about is there's as many ways to read dreams as, you know, there's many. But one way I was given by a therapist once is to understand that your psyche at its most base level doesn't really know for sure that other people exist besides you, right? Maybe your mom, right? Maybe from that most basic, but beyond that, no. And so any character in a dream, whatever they're doing, you can read. And like I say, this is just a way of looking. There's a lot of ways, right? But one useful beautiful thing you can do is to consider every actor in the dream to be yourself, right? I think that's also true to some extent in writing, although I think it's, for me, it's important to sort of be unaware of that when I'm writing, because I don't generally want to be talking about myself. There's plenty of that, right? So, but I think I thought about this a lot when I was writing this, because when I was filling in the backstory for this character, Jenny, who we only previously knew from a few songs, and what we mainly know about her is that she has a motorcycle and she disappeared at one point, right? And it sounds like things didn't go that great for her after she left. And so I started filling in the story and asking, well, what did she do? You know, I picked, you know, murdered somebody. So I murdered a landlord. but she also, because there was a song in Ohio West, Texas called Color in Your Cheeks, which was about a house where people can come and crash and be safe. That relates to me having once been a nurse, right? I mean, there's a similar caretaking impulse, right? Mm-hmm. So if you ever worked in the caring professions, part of it goes with you. And so I relate to her in that sense, you know, a lot more, you know, but on the other hand, the lodger who comes and crashes at her house, who she develops an affinity for, that's absolutely me. Like, that guy's detoxing mm-hmm. when he gets there. That's younger me, right? So any character is a version of yourself to some extent. I really think that's true, and that's where you get your empathy for them, is to understand that you're sort of trying to paint a complete picture of yourself by populating a whole world with versions of you, right?
Yeah. Are you a lucid dreamer?
What
often where you dream and then you become aware that you're dreaming.
Seldom. This morning I had one that I was kind of, as I was waking up, I was remembering. I didn't write it down. It involved being at the Temple of Gold Krishna commune in West Virginia, and I was waking people up there. They were sleeping. But that's all I really remember about it.
Yeah. Wow. It's fun. Yeah.
But usually I'm not aware until the very, like, maybe the last minute.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It actually helps to become lucid if you're having a nightmare. You're like, wait, no, this isn't, you're shaking your head. Like, you know what that's like? No,
that's the only time that I ever, like, have control of a dream is, like, if I'm having a nightmare and like, some part of me registers it and goes, oh, yeah, dude, you got to wake up.
Yeah.
It's like, no, end it.
That
and
doesn't
I just
happen.
I kind of, like, you know, just go.
Yeah.
And then it just... And I wake up.
And then the other side of that is if you are lucid dreaming and then you actually, which sounds insulting to ourselves, but if you look into a mirror, then you could potentially turn it into a nightmare. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
No.
Did I say dreaming is my jam?
Yeah, you're into it.
Open with that. Before we run out of time, I got more stuff to ask you.
No, I love that as a place to go. You should bring your jam to the interview. It's like, cause the thing is, like, obviously, if there's a new record coming out, you're supposed to talk about it a lot. But we already did that, so you can talk about whatever you like, and it's cool. So.
Yeah, this won't end, though. I have a limited amount of time. As someone with such a large body of work, I think your first album came out when I think I was 3 years old, I saw. Not that you asked about that.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, of course I did. With such a large body of work, when you write a new album, how much of it is discovery of you and how much of it is rediscovery of things that have worked in the past?
Another good question. The thing is, you want to strike a balance between those. You want to always be doing something new, as much as you can. And the thing is also, making an album is a long process. Like, I write by myself, right? I write at the piano or at the guitar by myself. Then I send them out to the guys. Then they ignore them until they have five or six of them. And then I have to look pathetic and go, did you guys hear the song? I thought it was pretty good. You know, it's fish for compliments, you know, like with a tin cup. I was walking up and say, hey, fellas, I thought that one was really nice. Nothing, just crickets, right?
You got an immediate and very enthusiastic response from me from the last song.
No, that's the thing. It's like, when Peter really likes what I will hear inside of 30 seconds, so because he knows that there's a possibility I'll forget the song existed, right? So, but he'll be like, put a pin in this. We like this one. We're going to do this one. So, but oh my God, what was the question? It was about building on past stuff versus new stuff. So I'm always wanting to favor doing something new, right? Always wanting to do that. That's how you stay alive to your own stuff. And I try not to be too much in conversation with old stuff because I know that's going to take care of itself, right? It's like in the writing, in my tendencies to go to certain chords or voicing, you know, this stuff will take care of itself. You have your tendencies, so you will connect to your older work almost inevitably, I think. Mm-hmm. And the trick is in trying to break free from some of your habits so you keep moving forward. You don't wind up just sort of revisiting something you've already done.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm going to go off my script here and ask this last question. So are you familiar with the golden record on Voyager?
Yeah.
One and two? Okay.
Everybody knows what this is, the golden record on Voyager, the LP they sent into space?
Yeah. If the Mountain Goats could put a song on the golden, a new golden record to be launched into space, is there, not an album, just one song, what song comes to mind?
A Love Supreme by John Coltrane. Without question. I was like, if they're sending something up in space and it doesn't have that on it first, then I'm going to step out of the way. So,
but, okay, that's on there. So what Mountain Goat song goes on?
So what comes after the John Coltrane song? That's it. Wow. I mean, the thing is, like, our most popular song is This Year, right? And No Children. But I would probably pick something perverse and make it like, you know, like Hair Match from, you know what I mean? Hair Match is a very long and slow song about the end of a wrestling match where one guy's getting his head shaved in the middle of the ring. And I figure if the idea is that when somebody finds it, they're hearing it and being exposed to something that they didn't know about, I'd rather it be something weird than the one that everybody already liked, you know? And so, yeah.
I like that. That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, for being here.
Yeah, it was fun.
Man.
Thank you.
Thanks, John, Peter, Matt, John. That's a very kind of Catholic order I just did there.
That's right.
The Mountain Goats for being here on KEXP. This is Listener Powered 90.3 FM in Seattle, Washington, streaming worldwide at KEXP.org and on the mobile apps. And these live on in-studio performances are made possible by your donations. So please visit KEXP.org/live. Thank you once again to the Mountain Goats for being here.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us.